Like to call the order, the Planning Commission Board of Adjustment meeting for July 23rd, 2024. And the meeting is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the chairperson and then state your name and residence and talk at the podium preferably. Roll call.
Fred.
Bob.
Gary.
Any additions or deletions to the agenda? Okay. We do have a couple public hearings tonight. The first public hearing interim use permit application IU0124 to operate a temporary / portable asphalt plant for 4 weeks from mid-September to mid-October in the existing pit. Property location is south of County Road 1, east of County Road 66. And the property ID is 222-90510. Property owner is Brian and Colleen Doby. And the applicant is Anderson Brother Construction. I've done one of these before, so I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Before we get started, I want to make a quick note. My coworker Mitch Hinnenkamp is here tonight to observe the meeting, so please don't be too hard on me, or at least as hard as you normally are on me. But he's just here to kind of watch and take it all in. So as the chair said, the first public hearing request is for an interim use permit. For the public hearing here tonight, we published a notification in the newspaper, which is now the Crosby Courier, and also sent notices to all neighboring property owners within 350 feet. Those notices are included in your packet, as well as the mailing label. So as the chair said, the interim use permit request is to operate a asphalt hot mix facility to produce bituminous material for an upcoming road construction project, which is actually located in Cass County. Jess has the image of the property there. The subject property is 20 acres and it's located in the forest management zone. So the overall conditional use permit for the property for extractive use covers both parcels, the north parcel and the south parcel, which is 39.8 acres. For this request, the interim use permit request, it only applies to that north parcel because that's where they want to place the temporary asphalt hot mix facility. A conditional use permit, as I said, was granted for extractive use. So the overall extractive use permit was issued in 2001, and that permit was for the extraction of 600,000 cubic yards of material from that pit. I've included some information here from the applicant. I'll go through it quickly, and then I'll take questions from the Planning Commission, and then the applicant is here, so he can address any questions. I'm sure there might be a couple, but regarding the information they submitted, the general operations on page 7, the proposed temporary asphalt plant will be placed in a 200 by 200 foot area located in the northeast corner of the property. It won't be visible from adjacent properties or the public right away. If you've been to the property, it's fairly screened as you go in. You access the property from the northeast corner via private driveway, and that area is very well screened with vegetation. The proposed hours of operation, and we'll get to this in the condition, but the applicant is proposing to operate the temporary asphalt hot mix facility from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, for a 4 week duration. The haul route, so the material will be taken out of the northeast corner of the property to County Road 1 and then head east. It actually goes south there, but County Road 1 goes south and then east to County Road 136 and 155, which are north off of County Road 1. The noise, dust, and erosion control are all handled by the MPCA. And as they noted, they provided copies of the permits that Anderson Brothers, the applicant, has obtained for the equipment from the state. So we really don't regulate the noise, dust, or I guess we do or could place conditions regarding erosion, but that's all sort of handled under their permits through the state. So the main difference between a conditional use permit and an interim use permit is that, well, two things. One is that the applicant has to agree to any conditions of approval, which is different than a CUP. They don't have to agree to the conditions. And the second is that the city has to determine an end date or event that will terminate the permit. So it could be a change of ownership in the property or a certain date or a certain number of truckloads that are taken out. You, as a planning commission, get to make that determination. In the conditions, we had suggested that it be a date. So we'll go to those quickly. So this isn't allowed use with potential conditions of approval. So we've prepared findings, 15 of them, in support of the request. And I did highlight number 15 because we have to confirm with the applicant to agree to the conditions. But I'll quickly go through the staff recommendation for conditions. And that is number one, that the asphalt hot mix facility shall operate between the months of the applicant's requesting mid-September to mid-October. That's up to the Planning Commission. Number two, the asphalt hot mix facility may operate from 7 a.m. until the requesting 9 p.m. I did look back at their previous permit from 2018. You allow them to go until 7 p.m. under that permit. And then Monday through, they're requesting Saturday. The previous permit, you allow them to go Monday through Friday. The facility may not operate on weekends or federal holidays. That's assuming you only allow it to go until Friday. Equipment maintenance may take place during those hours when the hot mix facility is not allowed to operate. Number three, the applicant shall notify the city of the start date of operation of the hot mix facility at least 1 week prior to commencement of the operation. Four, all apparatus associated with the hot mix asphalt facility shall be removed from the property within 2 weeks after the conclusion of asphalt production. Number five, all truck traffic associated with the hot mix facility shall enter and exit the property using the haul route in the northeast corner of the property, which is adjacent to or coming off of County Road 1. Number six, Anderson Brothers shall designate primary and alternate contacts who will be available for citizens to contact with any questions and or concerns when the temporary hot mix asphalt facility is in use. Number seven, a bond of $35,000 shall be established to cover reclamation costs associated with the hot mix facility. There's currently an annual $15,000 bond for overall site reclamation of the property. This one, I didn't send this one over to the city engineer. We sent it last time and they had suggested $35,000. It's probably still in that ballpark. I realize there's been some inflation, but this last permit was issued in 2018. I still think $35,000 would be in the ballpark. So that's just a note on that one. Number eight, all legal fees and other costs associated with the hot mix facility incurred by the city of 50 Lakes, which I don't expect there to be any, shall be reimbursed by the applicant. Number nine, a copy of their SWIP, that we call it, Stormwater Pollution and Prevention Plan, which is required through the state, shall be provided to the city prior to operation. And finally, number 10, loaders, bulldozers, and other machinery and equipment on the subject property must utilize the Mine Safety and Health Administration approved reverse activated strobe lights in lieu of audible reverse alarms. Just a note regarding the permits. So this is a very similar permit, an interim use permit for the asphalt hot mix facility that was granted in 2018. The city did not receive, that I'm aware of, any complaints, concerns from area residents or anyone living in the area. I think it went very well. Brad was very good about contacting the city about with Anderson Brothers when they were starting, when they were ending, and keeping us posted on that. So I guess that's just
a note. What was the date of that?
The last one, from 2018, or the month of the year?
Yeah, month and year.
So it was November 2018. It was granted on November 27, 2018. This letter went out on the 30th. And it was for May until August.
Okay.
Yeah, of 2019. May until August. And for this one, you allow them to operate for 36 consecutive days. So they had to start it and then end it. Who knows with this year and the amount of rain and the weird weather patterns we've had, that has something to do with it. Maybe Brad can touch on that. This one was 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Is there anybody here from Anderson?
Yep. Yes.
Hi, I'm Brad with Anderson Brothers Construction. Last time that job was a little bit different. The reason I'm asking for Saturdays on this is that we didn't have any complaints last year, and I guess we haven't had anything written so far this time. And the job's a little bit different. I am requesting, and as I said, mid-September to mid-October. I guess I would like to see the mid-November be an ending date, if that's fair with the board. I still feel like the project's not going to start till September. So. Any questions?
I got a question, Brett. Is there any asphalt millings that are going to come off the job site and back into the gravel pit? Because I don't see any mention of that.
Yes, there will be. So.
And is that acceptable in the conditional use permit or an interim permit? I don't know. I'm just, they didn't mention it, so I thought I'd ask.
Sorry, so...
They grind the roadway and then they haul it back to put it back into the hot mix.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's typical on all our operations. I guess I didn't outline that on my application.
Yeah. We don't have any special provisions regarding that in the local land use ordinance. I'm not sure if there's a state provision for that.
No, I don't know. I don't have to. The point, or just for clarification reasons, is that it really becomes maybe 60,000 rather than 30,000. Yeah. And it might be double the trucks, or maybe you could explain that to whoever's here that might be interested.
A lot of these on these mill, when they go out, they actually pick up and bring back. So, yeah, it's usually not any more trucks. The 30,000 is actually a mix that's going on in the project.
Because it's two-way hauling, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what if there's always seems to be a pile left after a job site? Is it okay to leave that pile on this site? Again, I don't know if you plan on taking it out. A lot of times it could be 5 or 10% left.
Right, yeah, correct. So if you plan on leaving, do we have had a pile in there in the past?
I don't know that yet, there's a gate there or something. But.
Again, I'm not an expert on this stuff. I could consult with the city engineer if you want me to run that question by him.
I just think clarification really for everybody to understand.
Is it tip standard practice?
That's typical. Yeah. We've had a leftover pile in the past there.
And that gets mixed with the new blacktop, right?
Yeah. Is there any, these are just my questions. Is there any other imported materials, like some granite or something for a high test overlay? I don't even know what you're doing.
No, because everything will be processed right at,
all right.
Under the old original CUP, the gravel will be processed there under those conditions, and then the asphalt plant will be.
And all that material has already been produced, or will you produce it?
We have not yet.
So you're going to move in, let's say, mid-October and start producing that material there?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. So it's really kind of two operations there.
It is. The actual crushing operation will fall under the conditions of the original CUP, which are...
Just so there's clarification or justice, so everybody realizes that there's going to be a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Usually once a year we go in there and do crushing operations for about the same time. Like, we have not been there this year at all, so this will be the first time this year.
Do you have like a number of contract days for this particular, is it two contracts or one?
It's just one but two projects. So 48, which is the Washburn Lake Road, so that runs east and west, and then the 155 goes until it hits Crow Wing County, which is that
136?
136.
Yeah.
How much of the Washburn Road are you doing?
All the way from 6 to where it kind of ends to.
Is this covering kind of process that you're doing instead of re? What everybody seems to be doing now is putting a cover coat over. Is that what you're doing?
No, that's seal coat, they call it. And no, we don't do that as a company. This is actually
the building.
Any other questions?
You should probably ask, why are you asking for 9 o'clock?
I think that is a little over, especially the time of year. I don't think we'll have 9 o'clock. We usually end at a half an hour before dark. So at that time of year, I'm guessing it's going to be 8 o'clock at the maximum. So I definitely would be for the 7 to 8. So, 7 to 7 during this time of year, just because of the way our highway projects go, it's just trying to get the project done. So the more restrictive hours we have, the more days we're out there. So if we could work 7 to 8, that extra hour every day takes a day off at the end of the week, if that makes sense. So hopefully we don't have to do a Saturday. We don't like to work Saturday, but if it rains 3 days of the week and we have all that and people kind of waiting for this project.
the last project that you took out of this gravel deposit was, did you go east towards your, this side, or where did that, where was that project?
That, yeah, that project was the number three going south of, from number one down to Cross Lake, wasn't it correct?
It wasn't six, no, Highway six, no?
No.
Well, the only reason I ask is, we've got this little stretch here that drops to 45 miles per hour. Maybe a lot of people may have some concerns that there's not any, some signage potentially a little bit larger to say temperature or the speed drops to 45. Trucks at 45 still look like they might be going fast, but again, maybe it's for open discussion there. I'm not certain.
So, yeah, truck drivers do this all the time. We go through some pretty sensitive areas.
Yeah.
So they're used to that. So.
I guess one comment on that, I did send this to Crow Wing County, and they typically would provide comments regarding ingress egress on the county road if they had concerns. They did respond and say they didn't have any comments. If this were more like a, like maybe a different sort of use, they might require a bypass turn lane or some additional signage, but this is a temporary couple month project and they didn't have any concerns. So.
Yeah, I just thought it. Yeah, it could definitely be something that we, as a toolbox, every day we always talk about our safety, what areas are concerned. Going up 136, some of those S curves in there, kind of the safety concerns, it wouldn't be anything different than 40 mile an hour zones.
That's pretty all I had.
Just a question about the bond.
About the bond? Yeah.
Yeah, the bond itself is reclamation of the hot mix plant in case it's not removed. It's nothing to do with the gravel taken out or if there's leftover blacktop there that would need to be removed.
It'd be anything associated with this project, but not the larger overall extractive use permit, which has a $15,000 bond, which is
low. So as far as we know, there's already some blacktop there that's been milled off, and there will probably be a no.
Yep. In the past, there has been.
Okay. Right now, right now, there's not. Okay, I thought maybe it was left from the last project.
And a lot of that $35,000 bond is also environmental protection. We're used to that, where we have a small plant, they'll throw a bond just in case there's any other problems.
All right.
So really, all you're going to do is move it out and regrade it to that maybe way it was. You're not going to do any sloping or anything like that.
No, actually, there's already
a flat. Lining the face,
yeah, there's already a flat area that we've sat before here, so we just be grading it maybe a little bit. But.
All right, thanks. Open it up to any public comments if there's anybody has any questions or concerns. Yes, sir.
Jay Green from 13257 Meyer Lake Road. We're directly southeast of this project. Where it's at.
Okay.
I just had some questions because I wasn't here until 2018. You talk about this hot mix processing, so I had some concerns. One was the hours of operation, the traffic, but if you can adjust the traffic with the northeast exit. But my concern was the noise, and I don't know if there's existing operations on that site, so I don't know. What the noise is going to be, but we're also downwind from where it is. And I'm concerned about the air quality. It's bad enough to breathe in the Canadian smoke, you know, for a month, you know, and then we hear until middle October anyway. But it's like, I just have some concerns as to what it is. So, and then could you clarify your hours of operation? Are you recommending 7 to 7 or 7 to 9? Of those?
I left it open in the staff report. The previous permit was 7 to 7, so I think if they wanted to remain consistent, that would be my recommendation. We didn't get any complaints, and, you know.
It's not a very populated area, but.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's a great place for
a
yeah.
My wife and I have enough, so it's a little different. So those are my concerns.
Okay. Regarding the noise, I guess maybe a question for Brad. I don't know if I'm assuming it operates consistently and you're going to hear it. A rep runs during those hours.
Yeah, well, you have the backup. The backup runs running in the asphalt plant. You know,
you once in a while hear these air with the gates opened up. It's not like a crusher. It doesn't sit and crush like a crusher does. Uh-huh. So, yeah. You already have one condition in it. We're using strobe lights instead of
So, Brad, the crushing operation, how long will that take? Just for his information.
Yeah, well, it only takes about 2 weeks. We only have, well, it depends on so the way the original ordinance is set up is there's restricted days between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Mm-hmm. But after Labor Day, then we don't have any restrictions. It's limited between Memorial Day and Labor Day. We only have 8 days that we're crushed during that time. So, and that'll be kind of the right at the edge of Labor Day when we move into there. So,
in relation to his question on noise, is there a lot of oversize? Is there maybe like a lot of pressure noise? Or are you going to roll that off to the side of the boulder?
No, like I said, we crush in there every year. I don't hear it this last year.
I haven't heard anything. Oh, summer.
Is this your first year?
No, I've been here, but I've spent more time at the property this year than I have.
Okay. So, every year we crush in there for about eight days. So we kind of utilize that 8 day crushing window.
What can we expect from the asphalt order? I mean,
well, yeah, you're definitely going to smell that like you do when you snow new pavement. That's something you can't mask on asphalt, right? Because you smell that. We're regulated under the NPCA. I mean, they can come out anytime and do testing on us. Okay. So it's
that's my major concern.
We're highly regulated under NPCA, BCA. So.
Thanks.
So, Brad, in relation to these hours, just more information because of the neighbor. What if there were two times? Because let's say the crushing might be a little bit noisier than the asphalt. Because you're going to have silos, or you're going to just produce right out into the trucks.
Yeah, it's all one unit. You have a drum that mixes it up with the asphalt cement. Yeah, it goes into a silo that bumps into the truck. And that's the only thing that makes noise is just air.
Right. But,
I mean, close. I really don't feel like people can hear that through in this site.
You would probably prefer the extended hours for the paving period rather than the crushing.
That's the tough part for us.
The crushing period might be the more noisy piece.
Correct. Yeah. And we're already restricted with our 2001 on that. So I'm not asking for any more hours or longer hours on the crushing. It's just the asphalt plant because of the weather conditions. And like I said, the more restrictive the hours, the more days that they have to operate to get the project done, because the project takes X amount of days. And that's why I'm asking for Saturday, too, instead of making it longer. That if we get 3 days of rain, we can utilize Saturday.
Do we have any events during this period over here in this neighborhood here that would affect the Saturday activity? Or
The only thing would be Booyah, but that is in, I think, the second week of October.
That's up here, though, right?
Yeah, that's
here. Yeah, you wouldn't hear from here.
That would be the only one.
Just be the additional traffic. If there's an event going on,
we don't work on Labor Day holidays either, so.
All right. Any other questions, comments? We're going to close the public comments. And open it up to the board for any further discussion or hours of operation.
I would make some recommendations and we can see if we all agree on them. I have no problem with extending the months to November, so that'd be September to November. I would like to cut the hours back from 7 to 7 instead of 7 to 9. And I would like to exclude Saturdays. Open next. extension of time will cover up some of the cutbacks and hours. Anything else? No.
I think that sounds reasonable. Brad, does that sound workable to you, I guess?
I think the 7 to 7, what I really should like to have a Saturday with our company, but
is that primarily because it's been more of a much wetter season than typical? I mean, are you really just being, if he works more Saturdays, it's going to be a shorter period.
Yeah,
how many Saturdays are we talking about? Yeah. Five?
I'm guessing just one, to be honest with you. It should only be one Saturday, but it's very rarely we have a week that has like 3 days of rain days.
Do you want to add one Saturday? You could do that.
Yeah, well, if that's just one, then you can leave it. That's fine. If somebody else has to cut it back, he's got to tell us that.
Just tell us 7 to 7 versus 7 to 9, that 2 hours. And all just for production or productivity reasons, how
what's going to
does
be
it really whack you pretty bad? Or
so we run usually 500 tons an hour, so that
it's going to be in the fall.
So that's 1,000 tons.
We'll be working probably after 7 any longer.
Okay, all right.
Eight, anyway. Okay.
Seven, seven, we've added 1 month, we'll leave it on Saturdays open now.
Okay. What was the Saturday comment?
We'll leave Saturdays on.
They're allowed to operate on Saturdays?
Yes. Because you said it'd probably just be one Saturday.
Do you want to say that they can operate on one Saturday?
No, just leave it.
It might be two, depending on the weather.
Just leave Saturdays right. Open. Saturdays are allowed.
Okay. Prefer not to work on Saturday, but if you have to.
And we prefer not to work. Believe me, everybody loves Saturdays. And another thing with these jobs, when they're opened up like that, I mean, they'll be, the shorter we have people having to get to their lake homes and having that project extend longer, we'd like to get it opened up to the public and done and out of there. So if you work Saturday, that's perfect for the residents to get to their lake homes and open up the project, so.
All right, any other comment? Nope. I guess can we make a motion then? Does somebody want to make a motion?
I will. I'll make a motion to approve interim use permit IU-0124 with the 15 findings of fact, with items 1 and 2 as modified, and the 10 conditions as stated.
Okay, Mr. Chair, before you go on that, can we get confirmation that you agree to those? So we can have that in the minutes.
I do. So we have 7 to 7 with Saturdays, and then the ending date is November.
Correct. Yes, September.
September through November. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Got a motion. Got a clarification. We get a second.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Fred. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
The next public hearing we have is after the fact conditional use permit. You don't have to hang around when you
thank you.
After the fact conditional use permit CU-01-24 for multi-tiered retaining wall in the shore impact zone. The property location is 14496 Rouse Lane. Applicant and property owner is Thomas and Pamela Stover. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Justin.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure that the Planning Commission has reviewed an after-the-fact permit request as a public hearing. So just a quick note, On these, when you're reviewing an after-the-fact permit request, you should be reviewing it as if the project didn't actually happen. So I know it's very difficult to do, tough to be objective when the project's already in, but when you review it, you should be doing so as if it doesn't exist. So as the chair said, the applicants are requesting an after-the-fact CUP for a multi-tiered retaining wall and various boulder outcroppings recently constructed on the property located at 14496 Grouse Lane. This property is in the Shoreland Residential District, and it's adjacent to West Fox Lake, which is a general development lake. A little bit of history on this one. I'll say 2 years ago, approximately, I got a call from the property owners. They were planning to build their dwelling and an accessory structure, and they staked out where they wanted to build the house and the garage. And so I went up there and looked at it. It looked fine. At that time, we didn't have any discussion regarding any work in the lake setback. That was a couple years back. And then recently, more recently, in April, they applied for a land use permit to construct a 2,400 square foot single family dwelling, 1,200 square foot accessory structure, which is a garage, and a 4 foot walkway going down to the lake, as well as to establish the 50 foot wide view corridor. So typically we get an application in, we look at the plans, we go out on site. Sometimes we meet with the property owner, contractor, landscaper, whoever. In this case, I did go out there and meet with them. We looked at the proposed location of the dwelling, the garage. We also discussed the view corridor that had it staked out. You're allowed a 50-foot wide view corridor. Within that area, you can have a 15-foot wide clear cut down to the lake. Within that clear cut, you can put your stairs in. So their plans, the permit, the chair has it in front of him if anyone wants to see it. I think it's like 40 pages. It's the land use and septic permit. The permit does not include plans for the walkway. So it does have, I included it on the permit card. We discussed it on site, this 4 foot wide walkway that we're going to construct to get down to the lake. And so issued the permit, and then the city got an inquiry regarding this multi-tiered retaining wall that was built on this property. And when we were on site, there was no discussion regarding boulders or any sort of walls in the shore impact zone, which is the lake setback. The ordinance in section 8.0303, titled retaining walls, allows retaining walls in shore impact zones 1 and 2, that's the full lake setback, only in situations where bioengineering, so vegetation, are not feasible. And then it states that more than one tier or combination of tiers of retaining wall exceeding 4 feet in height shall require a conditional use permit. So in other words, the city allows multi-tiered retaining walls in the shore impact zone when there are concerns or issues with erosion and there's no other option such as vegetation to mitigate erosion concerns. So I have visited the property, actually was out there yesterday. The soils in this area of the city are very sandy. I don't know if you've had a chance to go out there, but you can see that most of that hillside is, I'm not a geologist, but it's like a mix of, it's very sandy, it's kind of white and it has very fine grains. And so it's my opinion that I do think that in order to accommodate the stairway, there needs to be some sort of retention of that hillside. So if the Planning Commission does decide to approve the request, if you find out that some of you at least went out there to look at the site, determine that, there's really no other options here other than a retaining wall and maybe that in a combination of vegetation, then the conditional use permit should be approved. And if you do decide to do that, actually, Jess, if you want to bring up the photos, thank you, the other one. This is as viewed from the lake, obviously, looking up. You can see the 4 foot wide retaining wall in the middle of this clear cut. The clear cut needs to be addressed. That's wider than 15 feet. The clear cut is 36 feet wide. And so there's a 15 foot wide allowance. And so that'll need to, outside of that area, it's completely natural. So if you've been out there, that used to carry all the way through. It's very nicely vegetated, very densely vegetated, a lot of trees and shrubs and grasses and things like that. So you can see the stairway here kind of on the right side of that clear cut going up, and then it sort of switchbacks to the left and then goes up the hill. And then the reverse is on the left photo looking down. And so they've attempted to sort of put some plantings in here. I don't think what they've done, I mean, it's a decent attempt, but I don't think the ferns are going to be sufficient for holding that sandy soil in place.
Can you clarify, if I may, before we
move on,
the 15 feet and the 50 foot, based on these photographs, you're saying that the view corridor was created 50 feet, but they've exceeded the width of the 15-foot allowance?
Right. So depending on how you want to look at it, they have not touched any areas outside of this 36-foot wide cut down to the lake.
It was supposed to be 15 feet. It's
supposed to be 15. So the ordinance allows a 50-foot wide view corridor. Within that, you can clear up to 25% of the vegetation. So you can remove a couple trees here, a couple trees there, cut this up a little bit, just to get a view. It still has to be vegetated. But you can remove 25% of, that would include the understory and trees. So that's your view corridor, and then you can also have a 15-foot wide clear cut down to the lake. Now, if you go around and look at...
But they have 36 feet.
They do. Also say that if you go around even to the neighboring property to the west and all around the lake, not saying it's okay, but just part of the review criteria is that you have to look at the surrounding neighborhood, and, you know, they didn't clear the entire lot. They did go more than what's allowed. I think you can address that or maybe mitigate that by requiring some more plantings in there, maybe some trees or something like that. I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of property, not that it makes it okay, but I think a lot of lots don't meet the 15-foot wide clear cut requirement. Some have grass all the way down to the lake. And, you know, so I think what they have here is much better than some other places, but not as good as others. So take that for what it's worth. So if, does that answer it?
Yeah, but maybe a lot of those areas that were open before the ordinance was written too.
Some, you know, we had the gentleman here last summer talking about how sometimes things like 1 year a tree is cut and the next year nothing, like it just sort of happens over time. And when we review variance requests and when things come in like this, this is the time to address those sorts of concerns. If you do want to approve the request, we'll have to take a look at the findings, of course. I left some of them open-ended, but I would recommend the one condition there, and that's that a revegetation plan meeting the requirements of the ordinance shall be submitted for review and approval. And shall not be implemented until that's been approved. The plan shall include native vegetation, including grasses, shrubs, trees located in front of each retaining wall tier. And then the area outside of the 15-foot wide clear cut shall not be maintained. And they haven't touched that as of yesterday. So one other note, I did send this to the DNR. I had probably a half-hour conversation with him, Jake Free, he's the area hydrologist. He didn't have any concerns necessarily with it, but we did talk quite a bit about stormwater management and how, you know, now you have this opening. If you go on top of the lot, it's very flat. It does slope down, but on top it's almost like a plane, and then it goes down to the lake. It's not like one big hill going down. So stormwater isn't as much of a concern on this one, but you may want to consider requiring them to construct either a swale, so a depression at the top of the hill, or a berm, something that would kind of divert the stormwater to the natural vegetated areas on each side of this. So with that, let's see. I also wanted to note we did send a cease and desist on June 17th, 2024. I sent it via email and also called the property owner and then emailed it to them, and they immediately took steps to address everything in the letter. They put up the erosion control matting, they immediately stopped the work, and they were very, I'll say, willing to do what they had to do to get this thing resolved. Another thing to note is if this is approved, there, this doesn't really or shouldn't impact your decision, but there would be an after the fact penalty imposed. It's a $1,000 fine for after the fact grading in the shore impact zone. But yeah, these ones are difficult to review after the fact because you're looking at it, but you really should be making your decision as if it's not there. We did receive one letter from Mitchell Booz, I think is the pronunciation, at 14618 County Road 1, and he's the property owner adjacent to the east, and he stated that he wanted to express his approval of the steps and boulder walls down to the lakeshore at this property. He didn't have any concerns with how it was done or its appearance. So that's the one public comment we received.
Say, Justin, mm-hmm. if I may ask a question, does that stair system meet our ordinances?
I didn't measure it. I don't know why I didn't measure it.
I mean, as far as
4 feet wide.
4 foot?
Yeah.
Right. But is that type of construction acceptable in our city?
It is, and we can modify that.
Because I have been in other places that wouldn't mm-hmm. be acceptable. I just want to make sure that is.
It is. So
acceptable.
The code says maximum width of 4 feet. Some cities do require that in instances like this, they be constructed of wood and above the ground. That has less impact on the ground if you don't put it into the hill. But yeah, here we don't.
Okay.
I've seen ordinances too where that's the preferred method, but that you shouldn't have that in ordinance. Anyway. It does. As long as they're 4 feet, and I think they are. Yeah. Okay. Any questions?
I'm still confused on this 15-foot, 50-foot deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you blow up that picture on the right, Jessica? I don't know if Don's clear on it. But, okay, I get the 15 feet on the, let's call it the lakeside hill. I get that.
Yep.
Okay, but the 50-foot clear view is from on top of the property, correct?
Yeah.
So if they're standing up there or in their house or assuming they have a new home, and if there's trees blocking that 50-foot view, what do? If you only get 15 feet, do you still cut them down?
This is like the subjective part. So I've never gone out and said, all right, in this 50-foot view corridor, you have 120 maple trees, you can cut out whatever that would be, 130, mm-hmm. whatever, five. It's, hey, show me what trees you're, like, usually they want to take the dead and diseased ones down, of course. Those, I don't count towards their calculation, because you can remove those anytime, dead or diseased, without a permit. On top of the lot, I think it's, what is it, 100-foot wide lot?
118.
So, they have a 118-foot wide lot. They had to show me where their 50-foot wide view corridor was located. They had staked out. So between those two stakes, all the way down to the lake, they could remove 25% of the vegetation in that 50-foot wide area. They've only done it in a 36-foot wide area. They've not touched anything else outside of that. They could start, let's get through this one first. But they could thin some of the areas outside of their clear cut. So back to the view corridor, 50-foot wide. You're also allowed a 15-foot wide opening to put in stairways. And this was adopted by the Planning Commission, I don't know, 5 years ago we talked about it?
And that 15 feet has to be within that 50-foot corridor.
Let me add something that might help you hear that. The 50 feet is so you can get a view, so mm-hmm. you take basically trees up. The 15 feet is through vegetation. The vegetation has to remain if you take the trees out, except for 15 feet, and that's just allowing people an area to carry a couple coolers or a canoe or whatever they want down the bank. So, mm-hmm. does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get it now.
And it doesn't necessarily mean taking trees out. Sometimes it's just a matter of trimming the lower branches off of these tall trees.
Right.
Create a view without getting the trees out.
So, were there trees there that were removed, or mm-hmm. is there pictures or something? Or
well, if you look at the on each side of where there's a small cut, right. Yeah, there was trees there.
Yeah, I can see there. It's pretty thick both ways.
Yep.
It was kind of a natural clearing there. It was the spot with the least amount of trees.
It was cleared at 15 feet, and it widened out, but there was no more trees taken. Shrubs, underbrush, that.
And that should remain.
Yeah. So I'll take questions from the Planning Commission, and then if the applicant wants to come up and add comments, that'd be great, and then public comment.
My question is, when I'm down by the lake shore, I see what I think is a historic ice ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if it's an annual ice ridge, you can pretty much do what you want with it. But if it's a historic ice ridge, you're not supposed to take those out.
Yep.
You're supposed to backfill behind them if you need to get up over them, but you're not supposed to take them out. And without anything there right now, any erosion that comes down that hill is going to wash that sand blanket back into the lake. There's nothing to stop it. That one silt fence is almost tipped over just from the sand that's piled up right now. Whether that was water running down that caused that, or you know, construction work, I guess I don't know. But I think there should be something to prevent the water coming down those steps from going straight through when those silt fences are gone and washing out that sand and going right into the lake.
There is a little natural swale there at the bottom.
So the ice ridge is a separate but related issue. The city does allow, if you want, I can go get the ordinance too. I should have it with me.
I've got it.
It's, yeah, 15
foot. It's not historic.
There's a section in there regarding historic ice ridges. You're allowed a 15 foot wide.
No. Not for historic. Whereas if it's an annual one, if it's an annual one, you can.
Always have your code with you, Mitch.
I've got it here too if you want to look at it. We've got one here.
Here it says dirt moving includes, but it's not limited to riprap ice ridges. Because there's two types of ice ridges.
Yeah,
there's annual, and then there's historic. Okay.
So, up here in historic.
So what that says is you're allowed a 15-foot wide clear cut through a historic ice ridge, but you have to have the side slopes at 2-to-1 slope, and you need to construct a berm at the bottom of that. So that, like the chair is saying, so you don't have runoff just going straight down into the lake. Does everyone?
I didn't measure that, but I think it's probably wider than 15 feet. But
yeah, so.
And then the berm has to be added up and take that 15
feet
off.
A berm or a swell.
Yeah.
At the water's edge, looks like.
A berm would be better. A swell is just going to move it.
Yep. That's a separate issue now, though, right?
Yeah.
Yep, that's what you're saying.
Yep. Any other discussion, I guess?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Would you look at page 36, please, Justin? this is the letter that was following the conditional use permit application. So this is after the cease and desist was given out. Mm-hmm. And this is their words. I just want you to confirm what they said here about this meeting. To me, this is crucial. We had no knowledge of needing a special permit for the boulder work done on the property. They met, Tom the owner, Justin Streeter, landscaper, and Jody Shrupp, the excavator, met with Justin about the scope of the project and thought we had an understanding. And Justin's understanding, as I've been interpreting it, is that there would be a 4-foot walkway and no other construction, just vegetation. In other words, in my opinion, when Justin was there for this meeting, it appeared to you that the vegetation was all that was necessary. A 4-foot walkway, which is allowed, was okay. And it says that they were advised at a later point, as the work commenced, and under the direction of my professional landscaper, I don't know, was that Justin Streeter?
Yeah.
Under the advice of our landscaper, he said we should use boulders and retaining walls to eliminate the bank failure, which they did along, went along and did. Now, I'd like so you could agree with that basic, that meeting as this is worded.
Yeah, I feel like this is a courtroom, but...
this is pretty serious.
It is, yeah. There was no discussion about boulders that I can recall when we were on site. And I also didn't go down there and like start digging holes with a shovel to see what the soil type was like. Now that I've been out there and the work's been done, I can see that, yeah, it's some pretty sandy soil, and they're probably going to need some boulders there to hold that back. But yeah, when we were out there...
there was no discussion.
No.
And so as you viewed it when you were out there, there was no need for anything except the natural vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not putting words in your mouth, but if you looked at it and said, oh gee, this looks like it needs more work, at that time you might have said something.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not trying to say that you should have, or whatever you should
have. Well, right. yeah, I mean, there's no discussion of boulders.
If I may, if we look at this, there is no discussion about retaining walls or boulders, and I would assume that Justin, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. would have that words on this permit
right.
had it been talked about or discussed.
Yep.
And I don't see anything on this at all.
Thanks, Gary. And then I also asked to get a comment, a copy of the original permit,
mm-hmm.
which you gave all of us. So I don't have a page number for that.
I've got it here.
Yep. Well, I know I have a copy of it here.
Okay.
But the comment, this is the homeowner saying, they were constructed a dwelling of 2,900 square feet, an auxiliary building of 1,280 square feet, clear trees, shrubs to provide a 50-foot view corridor with a 4-foot wide step to the lake. No retaining walls or boulders are mentioned here. But they didn't go on to say that the applicant will make alterations according to 50 Lakes Land Ordinance Use Number 804, which tells me that whoever is doing this is certainly aware of the land use ordinance. And if they made a decision on the site after the fact permit, or after the fact to add boulders and retaining walls, if they were aware of the ordinance, they should have read the ordinance before they did the work, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say at that point.
Any other discussion amongst the board?
Mm-hmm.
Would the applicant like to speak?
quite my deal, but I think Justin covered most of it. It is meant to be my retirement home here. I've owned the property for over 35 years. I had no intentions of outstepping the boundaries. It is my ignorance of ordinances. I just assumed, and I know what assume stands for, that we could retain to do it the right way. And I think we did do it the right way, and it's very aesthetically pretty. Everyone, my both neighbors on each side, think it's beautiful and think have no problems with it. And I have no plans to clear any more in the 50 feet on either side of the stair. But it's all sand, and we have replanted 80 plus ferns and 10 trees, and so it is my intention to give it back to Mother Nature. And I'm a hunter and a fisherman, and like I said, I've been there for over 30 years, and I understand the quality of that body of water, and I'd never do anything to jeopardize that.
Thank you. Any public comments? Yes.
Hi, Marilyn McKeon, 14482 Grouse Lane, from the west of the Pam and Tom Silver's property. And I met Justin, the contractor, early in the project, and he works on the weekend with his crew, and they come from the Twin Cities, so very reputable business. And our first meeting, I just, as a lake owner, I'm like, make sure you have all the permits. And Justin said, Tom has it all. So that was the key word. And it's just unfortunate that there was a miscommunication about the boulders. And I think, you know, whatever we can do on the council to step up that communication, like when someone pulls a permit to build a home, let's make sure they clearly understand the shoreline as well, because if you're putting a home on a lake, you're probably going to access the shoreline. So whatever we can do to make sure that people know that, so that this miscommunication doesn't happen again. The concern would be if the homeowner had to remove those boulders, like their position there. You've done a really, really nice job, and I guess I am confident you're going to build the vegetation, but the boulders are doing a job there. I think, wouldn't you say, Justin, holding up that hillside?
Yeah, we wanted to make it so it's there for a lifetime. Right.
It withstood the torrential rains of a month ago. Nothing collapsed, nothing moved.
Yeah, there is a little erosion out there, a couple different places. But yeah, based on the volume of rain we've had, it's not substantial.
And we have since sloped the upper part away from the lake, so it won't pool and run down any longer. Everything is sloped back towards the back of the property now. So,
but as our planning commission, like I do want you to be diligent and make sure we, you know, protect property. I've learned a lot from Justin just by having him out to our property and learning more and trying to restore vegetation, adding more wildflowers to my shoreline as well. So to be diligent, maybe beef up our communication. And then unfortunately this is after the fact, but I guess I'm confident that my next door neighbors are going to rectify whatever you feel needs to be done. And we can't let people just go rogue and do whatever they want. So Justin's a professional landscaper in the Twin Cities that does property on Lake Minnetonka. So he and his team really know what they're doing. So thank you for your consideration.
I haven't encountered that much sand before, though. It's about 40 feet of sand on that property.
When was the decision made on the boulders? after you started to put the steps in and realized that it was more of a, what, fine grain sand of some sort?
No, that? It's just a beach.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, that's why that shore is the way it is, why it's so shallow there, is because that's just been eroding for years and years.
I guess what I was getting at here is, I think, Justin, not that you don't have enough to do, but do you require pre-construction meetings? So you could, the permit might have been issued 4 or 5 months before Tom had a landscape guy all figured out. I don't know, but maybe we should require a pre-construction meeting once they know what they're doing to final, in case you might have a new question, like the holders.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect, I don't think there was a miscommunication. There was never any. I can't speculate what people are going to do.
But that was 4 or 5 months prior to construction, maybe. I don't know what it was.
It was a couple, yeah. It was a couple months before meeting on site. But no, we typically, I mean, I meet with property owners on site a lot of times, or contractors. This is the first time in my time here we've ever ran into this sort of issue. We have it right on the website. What requires permits? Pretty much everything, especially in the lake setback. So no, I mean, if that's something you would like to add, we could do that. We're here 10 hours a week. We'd probably need quite a bit more time than that. But yeah, we can definitely make that happen if the city would like that.
Any other questions or comments from the public? If not, we'll close the public comments. Open up for discussion amongst the board. I know when I was out there and I looked at the vegetation, primarily what I saw was ferns. I know it talks about more plantings than that. And I do think, more vegetation should be done. I think maybe that should be a condition here, I guess. But
it has been seeded as well since.
The top has been seeded.
No, the hill has too. It's starting to come through. You just can't see it with the blanket there.
What'd you use for
the green blanket?
I used red fescue, low growth fescue. And wildflower mix. And there's also a detention basin mix down in the swale area.
Do you have any thoughts on the shoreline or some of the conversations that we've already had regarding a berm or anything? If you're doing this all the time in the city and everything, you must have experienced something like this in the past. Or
there
does that berm seem reasonable? Or
there is a natural swale between the stair and the beach. Mm-hmm. As he mentioned, there has been some erosion. We've been digging it out as it comes down. So that will get dug out back down to its natural state there. And it's probably a foot and a half swale there.
I've only seen it from on the lakeside. I really haven't walked that far.
Yeah, we left that natural swale that runs through the bank there. So, but I think with the grading up top, not allowing that water to come over the hill, and then once everything is established with the plantings, it's, you're not going to have any runoff anymore. Mm. If anything, with all the rain we have, the lake will come up to the stairs.
Thank you. was the original permit $450 an hour, or is that what that was?
The permit fee?
Yeah.
It should be at the top of that first. Bob has it here, a copy of the permit.
I thought I saw $450 or something.
Yeah, $650 for the dwelling and then $250 for the septic. $900.
Well, my personal opinion is that we should approve this permit with revegetation plans.
Well, yeah, taking everything out now, it's going to be more destructive than leaving it in and planting and controlling the runoff, I think. Did you want to make a motion, Fred, or? I could.
Do you want me to read through some of the omitted
findings? Why don't you?
Okay, so the first seven findings are regarding the property location, kind of the situation when the cease and desist was sent out, notified the DNR, didn't provide comments. Starting with number eight, these are things to be considered for a conditional use permit. The potential impact of the proposed use on health, safety, and general welfare of the occupants in the surrounding neighborhood. So when you review a CUP, you have to consider that. Would you agree that there's no impact to any of those? Okay. Number nine, the ability of the proposed use to meet the standards of this ordinance. And I added, according to section 8.0303, retaining walls, the proposed use is allowed with a conditional use permit in situations where bioengineering practices, vegetation, are not feasible. So in order to approve this, you need to determine that they need to have retaining walls and not vegetation. Are there three of you that agree with that?
In order to what?
In order to approve the request, you would need to determine that bioengineering practices, vegetation, aren't an option here, and they have to have the retaining walls.
Great. I would agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Three? Okay.
Well, this is a tough one.
Hey, I have a steep bank on my property, and there's nothing I could do to hold back the sand except put in a retaining wall.
Well, Justin, do you have different types of certifications? I guess we're kind of stuck on, you know, it had to have been done based on the soil types that you witnessed or experienced working with. Are you guys like some kind of a certified landscape something? I don't know what your certifications would be.
That's not required.
Specialist.
Are you civil engineer or something? Or something?
No, but I don't know if they submitted or not, but I did take pictures of the surrounding areas alongside it where it's natural vegetation. And you can clearly see, even where it's been established for so long, that there's exposed dirt. And you can see it at the bottoms of the trees where it's been washed out about 8 inches.
That's what these photos here must be, huh?
Yeah, so it's natural vegetation isn't going to hold that hill back. It's just not.
But natural vegetation is holding the hill back on each side. That's what's clear cut here.
That's what I'm saying. I took pictures where it is untouched on each side, and you can see where it's exposed dirt, it's been washing out, it's not the natural.
I don't know, I looked at it, it looked pretty vegetated to me.
It is.
Maybe down by the lake, maybe it's washed out a little bit from waves or something.
No, I took pictures right on the hillside, and you can see at the bottoms of the trees where it's been eroding away over the years.
So you have three that agreed with 9A. Don, did you want to comment on that one, or should we move on?
Well, the question, you know, it just boils down to we're viewing this as if it was in its natural state still, like, as far as the way we're supposed to look at it. Mm-hmm. And when you were out there, there was no discussion about boulders or retaining walls. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just... It wasn't determined that you should try to do that until the project was started. I mean, there was just no... I wish there was another answer here, but I can't seem to grasp to find it. I just... It doesn't talk about boulders here, it talks about retaining walls. What do the boulders do as far as, I mean, I can understand the retaining walls, but are the boulders an aesthetic addition?
The boulders are the retaining walls.
Yeah. There's some outcroppings, I'll say. There, so I did look at this. I said, well, do we even define retaining walls?
Well, they're erratic boulders.
Yeah, they're out
there. There are some of those, yeah.
Like the one on the left, you can see kind of a quarter of the way up. Well, there's a few in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, each one is doing a job of retention.
Yeah, the whole kind of thing works together, I would say.
I wish we had some other alternatives, but
I think it's probably this in it, with a combination of...
Revegetation.
Yeah, not just ferns, but something that will actually grow up. And cover the wall, so aesthetically you wouldn't even see the retaining walls from the lake, ideally, in my opinion.
Well, in probably 5 or 10 years, it'd be full of moss, so all the moss
facing. Right. Yeah.
You know, the growth doesn't happen automatically, and they've said they've added different grasses and additional plantings.
Just from a professional landscaper's point of view, do you think ferns are actually going to grow in that sandy soil exposed to the sun?
Well, they're from the site.
In the shade.
There's a lot of them in the shade on each side, you know.
Half of them are dead. That was
all there was. Is a fern a deep-rooted plant? Because I know a lot of your sedges and stuff can be deep-rooted to...
They're actually almost like they kind of interconnect underground.
Mm-hmm.
Like an aspen tree.
Is there something else you could consider that would maybe...
It's been seeded with wildflower seeds and that low-growth fescue, and that lower part where the swale is, it all has a detention basin mix, which is a variety of flowers that will grow in wet conditions. And
it's hard to see any of that now because it's all kind of under the green mat.
Yeah. Even if you're up close, you can see the fescue coming through the mat, but it's hard to see that close.
Does that look fairly deeply? Will it hold in that sand for a long time?
Yeah.
Will that shoot roots down and really grab a hold in there?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're really kind of looking for, is something that's deep-rooted that's going to hold, that's not going to let go during a rainstorm in a month or in a week.
It grows up to about a foot and a half, and then it'll just lay over.
So what if everything was taken out except the steps that was planted with a lot of these ferns that are supposed to be growing deeper and filling up the vegetation?
No, that's why I took photos on either side of it where it is fully vegetated and it's still growing. Just imagine a sandcastle on the beach and the wave shows up, it's gone.
Don, you don't think the boulders are acting as a retaining wall?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if the natural vegetation had not been disturbed by putting in the retaining walls and the boulders, you wouldn't be having this discussion. I guess, in hindsight, when you were out there doing the work, if you had just waited to see what was going to happen with that natural vegetation, and if you were right and it did wash out, then you could come back and ask for retaining walls to be put in. Then it wouldn't have been a mess we're in right now.
You're not in a mess. You're in a mess.
Do you want me to move on with the findings?
I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay, so number 10, the ability of the proposed use to meet the goals and policies adopted within the 50 Lakes Comp Plan can be met. So letter A, the request with conditions is consistent with the purpose and intent of the zoning ordinance and following goal in the Comp Plan is to preserve the natural character and environmental quality of the lakeshore and still allow reasonable use for the property owners and the public. Of course, that's with any potential conditions you have, so it's not as it is now.
Yeah.
Okay. Two others agree with that, at least?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Number 11, the effect of the proposed use on property values and future development of the land in the surrounding area. And then I added that the use will not have an impact on the property values and the future development of land in the surrounding neighborhood. Number 12, the effect of the proposed use on public utilities, public services, roads, and schools. There is no effect on any of those with this proposal. Number 13, I left open-ended. You have to consider the effects of the proposed use on the environment, including its impact on groundwater, surface water, and air quality. So then I started it with the proposed use with conditions.
More vegetation.
Okay, so the proposed use with the conditions of additional vegetation will not adversely impact groundwater, surface water, or air quality. And number 14, the adequacy of water supplies, subsurface sewage treatment system facilities, erosion control, and stormwater management are provided pursuant to applicable standards. And then I've added that the proposed use will not have an impact on the water supply and the SSTS, of course. And the use with conditions will limit erosion on the steep slope and properly manage stormwater in accordance with land use ordinance. And that's assuming that, you know, the conditions are met. The three that agreed to that?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then for the conditions, the first one, and maybe if you're satisfied with what's there, that's fine. But I've added that a revegetation plan meeting the requirements of section 8.04 and 8.05 shall be submitted for review and after approval shall be implemented by
what date?
This year?
October?
Well, Justin, is there a drop dead date for plantings in this environment up here?
Yeah, they survive better if you do it earlier.
Yeah.
I'll say
October 15th.
Okay.
End of October, I don't know.
That's plenty of time for us.
October 31. Or 30 or 31. The plan shall include native vegetation, including grasses, shrubs, and trees located in front of each retaining wall tier. Now, this is a departure from what they've done. They put some seed down, it sounds like, but with this condition, you'd be requiring them to add shrubs and trees in front of each of the tiers, and this would, aesthetically, as viewed from the lake, you would not be able to see the retaining wall, as these things grow in.
So what we're asking here is, so Justin, Town is going to prepare some additional plant names and things like that that are submitted to you, and then you're going to approve that, or DNR approve that?
No, the city would. Last time I asked that the Planning Commission do that, but you wanted me to do it. I'm more comfortable with having the Planning Commission do it, because I have another one I've added, so maybe you'll be open to this, but I can review it if you're comfortable with that. And then that leads me to an additional condition I want you to consider, and this does involve you. Number two, the Planning Commission shall review this property next June to determine if the additional vegetation planted meets the requirements of the zoning ordinance.
Or has taken root and is meeting our expectations.
Yeah. So then that kind of makes it, because I don't know, I feel like if the Planning Commission reviews it and we keep it on, you know, an agenda for June, then maybe go out there and take a look and require some additional plantings. It's a sensitive one, so I think we should have more.
Maybe it should be a little later than June.
Okay.
To give it an opportunity to grow up at all.
August?
Might be dead. Certainly July.
July? Okay, let's go with July.
So you added to add vegetation in front of the boulders?
Yep.
Does that make sense to you guys, to you, Justin, as a landscape professional?
Basically what we've done so far is the ferns are in front of all the boulders.
Okay, the condition says grasses, shrubs, and trees, and you planted ferns and grasses. So we're looking for some more vertical growth vegetation like shrubs that will kind of cover up the wall. The ferns get, you know, what, a couple feet? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. With this condition, you'd be requiring additional vegetation than what's there now.
More than ferns and, what did you say, cedar? Flower seeds.
We did some oak trees and maple trees.
Those are on the hill? How big are they? Didn't see those.
They're not very big. They're from the property.
7 acres there with a lot of natural vegetation.
Good. I mean, you should have plenty there to add. Well,
tell me what to plant.
Okay. Yeah, put a plan together. The more the better. Put a plan together. The more the better. And then I'll review it. And we can have the Planning Commission come out next July then.
It seems like a compromise as close as we're going to get. Mm-hmm. I'm still disappointed Justin that you went ahead and did this without.
We don't have anything, we're talking about revegetation, but we're also talking about that 15-foot area with that view corridor, mm-hmm. but the clear cut is wider than 15 feet. Mm-hmm.
It's so, not, it was cut at 15 feet.
Well, we measured it, we were 36 feet.
Is there stumps there that are cut off? The trees were cleared at 15 feet. Now that was vegetation on the sides from the construction. That's got knocked down, and that's what we tried to replace. We replaced more.
Yeah, it was naturally the clearest spot on the shore. There wasn't many trees to remove.
Yes.
38.
It'd really be easier to, I mean, a year from now if it's revegetated. Right now it's hard to tell. I guess there are so many ferns that I said, there's a lot of ferns. You're never talking about other things.
Yeah, so that was, this is provided by the applicants. This is prior to, so the clearing on the right is on the neighbor's property.
Yeah.
This is the property. This is submitted by the applicants prior to. The clearing.
Well, it's cleared already.
Yeah, you can't even see.
Okay. You look at that and so you're saying, well,
you can't even see
well,
it.
Well, that's vegetated.
That's already cleared. You can see the silt fence.
Yeah. It was cleared at that time. Unless you're straight onto it and in close, you can't even see it.
Yeah.
But you can now.
No, you can. There's like a 15-foot view window. Once you go side to side, you can't see it at all.
Well, yeah, if you get onto the side, you can.
It's very, very low impact visually. It's not like the neighbor that has two openings and all the other shoreline that's wide open.
Okay, so you went through the findings. We have the two recommended conditions of approval. We're asking for a plan with some additional vegetation, including shrubs and trees, in front of each tier of the retaining wall. And then the Planning Commission will go out again next July to take a look at the property and see okay. how the growth is coming along. Determine if additional vegetation is necessary.
Okay. This has come up before. When we have conditions, you get awfully busy.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and look at every project we've had conditions on, and if you find that a condition isn't being met, what's the remedy?
Tell them to meet it. It's typically one follow-up inspection. I don't go back every single year. So,
but if you find something that needs remedy, what do you do?
Tell them to remedy it.
And what if they don't?
Then they're in violation of the ordinance or their permit. Yeah, I don't know of any offhand. Do you? That's why I want to involve the Planning Commission on this one, because it's a sensitive one. And this way, everyone can go out there and look at it, determine if it's meeting what you've approved tonight. But yeah, I do have a like a spreadsheet with the variances and the conditions and findings. But I'm not going on every single year to make sure that.
Yeah.
You know, Justin, this seems like this could be a problem that's going to continue.
I hope not.
Not on your part, but yeah. where we're having outside contractors coming in just simply because the choice up here isn't very broad. We have two other developments on our road that are city contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably not aware of our requirements as detailed as we're asking for.
But they should be.
No, I don't disagree.
I've been a general contractor for 35 years. And when I get a permit, I follow it
more often, potentially.
Right, but see, we need to have people in this area that understand our regulations and our permitting. And like I said, as a general contractor, I don't see anywhere here that any of this was allowed. And a contractor who comes into our area should know these things. That's very, I mean, that's throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, a contractor that comes in and does this unpermitted, which is what this seems to be, I don't think that's right. I've tried to follow the letter of the law for 35 mm-hmm. years in general contracting, and I feel that I did pretty well. And when I see other contractors come in and just disregard city policies and requirements, that's not good. And I, to a point, I feel that was done here. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't see anywhere on any of this paperwork that allowed any of this, other than the 4-foot walkway.
Mm-hmm.
And with what Don says here, it's very difficult to look at this objectively like it had never happened. Because mm-hmm. it would have, should have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand, you know, we've got to look at it like that. Well, we wouldn't have let it happen. And I see where it's really a conundrum here.
Well, if the contractor would have stopped and got a hold of Justin, mm-hmm. hey, you're coming out here, this plan isn't going to work, the soils are way too silty, fine, or whatever they are, then there would have been a discussion or a retaining wall. I get it. But
absolutely.
I get that too.
Mm-hmm.
So
And, you know, a permit states pretty much what you can and can't do. And I don't see anything on this permit about any of this, other than the walkway. And, you know, we let this stuff happen, and it's already been said today that, well, the neighbor has done that, and the neighbor has done that, so we let this happen. Then the neighbor can come back on this property and say, well, look what he did.
He never is.
No, exactly. And some of this stuff is grandfathered in. Some of it's just done without knowledge. And that's where we've got to, you know, try to regain this. This is for the health of our lakes. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat to do with aesthetics, but it has to do with the health of our lakes. And our lakes are our livelihood here, and we've got to protect them. And this goes against protecting our lakes, unless we can restore it in a decent way.
And I think that's what we're asking for at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because what's been done is it's too late to, we can't back up and deny it. Mm-hmm.
So would anybody on the board like to make a motion?
I do have one last question.
Yes.
This is a conditional use permit.
Yeah, right? After the fact CUP, yeah.
And you have
Oh, did I number it wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
IU 0124?
Oh, that was the first one. This is letter B. Or do I have it wrong on the notices?
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
It wouldn't surprise me if
I... It is a conditional use.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this one is CU-01-24.
Okay, I make a motion to approve CU-01-24 with 14 findings of fact and the two conditions for revegetation and a July review. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Jerry seconded. Okay. We'll vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. Thank you much for your time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That's all. Open forum. Everybody get a chance to read the minutes from June 4th, 2024, and the additions or deletions. I read them, I think they look good, so I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
June 4th,
2024. And I'll second.
Fred seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. New business, weather and sire update. Yep, they're in.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I didn't give you a heads up on this, but I don't know if you wanted to give a couple of things about how they function.
I guess, and I've relayed this to Anna, and I think she shared it with the mayor and with the council, that, you know, we had two different vendors. I mean, I did all the legworks, pulled together the information from Federal and American Signal. Yeah. And I presented all of that information, and I talked to references, and Federal's all you see in the state of Minnesota, pretty much any place you go. So American Signal was a different manufacturer out of Wisconsin. Didn't know anything about them. I got some references, we talked to the references, some of them I got in email, some of them were verbal discussions. Presented all that to the council so they can make a decision. I felt that either vendor would be fine. If they want with American Signal, there's a possibility they can get two sirens with the grant money. If they want with Federal, they'd probably get one. And so the decision was made to go with two sirens. And originally they were going to be hardwired to 240 volts AC. The council made the decision to make them both solar powered. And they're set up so if we want to wire them, hardwire them at some point in the future, we can. Obviously, We wanted to put one at the cell tower, which never happened. We don't know if it ever will happen. It wouldn't have gone on the tower, but it would have been in that 100 by 100 foot leased area. So myself, Chad from maintenance, and Councilmember Bradley, we went out looking for sites. And we found one off of County Road 136 that was on some tax forfeited land pretty much across the road from where the cell tower will go at some point. I picked one spot, Mark picked another spot that was a little better. We went to Crow Wing County on that one to present where we wanted to put the siren. Then we met with the emergency manager from Crow Wing County, forestry guy, and somebody else, and we looked at it, and eventually, anyway, what happened was an easement was granted to the city to put in that siren. And the easement goes down the utility area, so if we do want to bring in power someday, we can, and it's on the right side of the road where the power exists. And the other one went further north on County Road 136. It covers, it's not quite the wood lake, but it's up that direction. And part of that one plays into the Emily area, and there was some monies, I think, traded hands between Emily and the city, or that will down the future with maintenance or whatever, because it covers in part of Emily. And after they were installed the following Wednesday, they did the test, and they went off. The county did their test the way they normally do. They've gone off every Wednesday since. And then when we had a storm move through here, what, 4 or 6 weeks ago, the sirens were activated sort of after the fact.
I was going to say,
everything had kind of gone through here, and then here go the sirens.
I thought it was an all clear signal.
But the interesting thing was that the next day, I got a call from American Signal. They said, "We noticed that you guys had some weather last night. We're just wondering if the sirens went off okay." So that was good customer follow-up. They followed up one time since then. So Josh and Tom, who own this company, twice now they've contacted me just to be sure that the sirens are working okay.
Is the time that they set it off more of a county issue? We need to talk to them about that, because that was going to be one of my comments.
The county does it based on NOAA weather information.
Yeah, because when I heard during that storm, I heard this one here go off and barely. I mean, that storm was in, I live a mile north of the crow flies here. That storm was in full.
Yeah,
and going, and Emily's went off afterwards also.
And
that was going to be my next comment, is after the storm event was over, I heard this one and the one up on 136. But during that storm when it went off, I barely heard this one, and it should have gone off sooner. You know?
Yeah, I don't, yeah, I mean, that's a county thing. I don't know exactly what happened there.
Yeah, because it was right in the middle of it when I heard it go off. And of course, like a dummy, I'm standing outside watching.
Sure.
You ever listen to the NOAA weather radio? And then they'll go beep, beep. And then they'll say, "Major tornado." I'm just exaggerating.
Oh, yeah.
"Major tornado coming." Beep, 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 beep. Goes on for a minute and a half. Where the hell is the tornado? Where did it go? What's it going to happen? And half, you know, it seems like an eternity before anybody comes on and explains what the deal is.
Yeah.
So being from Minnesota, we all go out to the front steps and look around.
Get fresh beer.
So out there, my opinion, I think I said something to Mark. The one off Kegel Lake Road, I think there's some brush. Small little scrub trees, but probably in a couple of years have to be cut down, or they're going to start interfering with the solar panels.
I noticed one on 136 has some branches.
I mentioned that to Mark, and I think he talked to the county forestry, but nothing's happened on that. And that one was done through an application through the highway department at the county. And then they get, you know, we put a stake out there with an orange flag on it. He drove by one day and said, "Yeah, it looks fine." Yeah, it just seems like there's... This one was a little more involved with...
Yeah.
Tax forfeited land and stuff. Anyway, they're both in our opinion. Thank you, Sourcewell, for the grant money.
That was the easy part. All the work you did was the difficult part, so I know the city, yeah. I'm very appreciative of everything you put into it, because I don't know if it would have happened without all the work you did, so thank you.
I didn't know something about Towers. I guess I wouldn't have been there.
Speaking of Towers, Mike's not here, so I'll speak up for him. What's the update on the tower?
You haven't heard anything.
No. Well, we talked about the other day.
You and I had a conversation.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and look, but the last I recall was that they put it on, they didn't give us a date, they just said we're temporarily suspending this project or something like that, because there's no plans to do it, from what I recall.
So it sounds like it's dead in the water.
Yeah.
Is there a new one going on 6 going towards Crosby? I thought I noticed that Saturday.
Potentially. Would that be in the county, do you think? Or?
I have no idea. It's kind of actually off because there's a dead spot there. I was just curious.
Okay.
No dead spots there, at least for me.
I think there was, did the council send a letter to
land over there rather than here?
Congressperson or something about?
I thought we had, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, old business. Gary, liaison report.
I have nothing for you gentlemen today.
Justin, your report.
Okay, thank you. I included the list of permits. Year-to-date, we've issued 39 land use permits and 7 SSIS permits. We're, I think, a little bit ahead of where we were last year at this time. It's been a busy year. I wasn't sure what to expect with the early wet start, but it seems to be going well, so yeah. Any questions on the permits?
I don't think so.
All right. I'll make a motion we adjourn.
Oh, that's right. I'll still Fred's stuff. I did that once.
You got in trouble for it, too.
Yes, I did. Yep.